Chapter 10. The vagrant shifts a little. His mouth works sloppily a couple of times before being consumed by a yawn. Amber eyes open without focusing. He blinks slowly, then a few times more, rapid. He tries to stretch, but his wrists are held above his head, bound by straps, ankles fastened tight to the table that he lies on. By straining, he manages a little movement of the head. The room appears to be the same one as he went to sleep in. A second table, thin and metallic, with wheels on the end of each leg, is to his left, Jem strapped securely to it. The man is sound asleep. He looks to the right, finds Reela has been left against the wall, unbound. He whistles at her, hopeful, but her features do not flicker. Bonds are tested again, found more than up to the task. The table judders as he fights them, rocking from side to side, alarming. At the sound of the door opening, he stops, the table rocking left, right, then left once more before settling. Giblet lurches into the room and slaps Jem's face playfully. When there is no response, the half-breed leans over the vagrant and brings back a webbed hand. Amber eyes glare and the hand pauses. Giblet begins to jump up and down, making happy grunting noises until the walls fade to transparent and the tubes filled with orange liquid and old wrinkled bodies glide into view once more.
"Well done, Giblet," says the man's voice from the speaker. "Well done. Now settle down."
A tune plays, simple, and Giblet's enthusiasm leeches away, the large body flopping immediately onto the floor. Two more repetitions, and he is sound asleep.
"Congratulations," says the speaker. "You're the first to wake up, and this means you're the first to be interrogated. I don't know if you recall, but I mentioned earlier that we would have questions and that you would be answering them."
There is a brief crackle.
"This is what's going to happen now. If we're happy with your answers, then there's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about at all. Are you ready?"
He doesn't wait to see if the vagrant will answer, his voice cheery.
"Good. Then let's begin."
The vagrant glances around again. He sees the bonding gun that Jem had scavenged in the corner, along with Delta's sword. By stretching the tie on his wrist to its limit, he is able to get his fingers to the wall.
"Something easy to start with. What is your name?"
The vagrant pushes. Wheels turn easily on the polished floor, and the table drifts towards the opposite corner where the weapons are. There is a moment of hope before momentum trails off, stranding the table in the middle of the room.
"You know, my colleagues didn't want to bother talking to you at all. You're clearly not a rescue party from the Empire, they said. Best to use you as breeding tissue, they said. But I said no, because that would hardly be civilized. Surely you'd rather answer a few simple questions than be turned into gestation tubes for Giblet's descendants."
The vagrant stretches out his foot, trying to reach Jem's table, but the toe of his boot is held in the empty air, the ties too tight for his plans.
"I'm not sure what you're hoping to achieve, but it won't work. Now tell me, who are you? Why are you really here?"
The vagrant sighs, closes his eyes.
"Perhaps you'll change your mind. Perhaps you won't. It doesn't matter. Your colleague seemed a lot more forthcoming. He can answer my questions instead. We don't need you. Well, Gibbler does.
The speaker stutters with a suppressed giggle.
But perhaps I'm mistaken. Yes, I see it now. You've become fond of him and you wish to develop your relationship, to become, what's the word? Intimate. So be it.
A tune plays and the half-breed becomes alert. Locking his arms and legs, the vagrant begins rocking the table again, desperate.
Gibbler,
says the old man, his voice sing-song.
Wake up, Gibbler! It's time for you to become a daddy!
A skyship drops from the clouds, phasing out of cloak as it does so. Reflective shielding fades, revealing a sleek metallic body, its wings adorned with the badge of the Empire of the Winged Eye. Already they are rotating, engines moving from horizontal to vertical, allowing the craft to descend directly onto Ferrus. Coming to a stop 20 feet above the tower, the skyship opens a hatch, allowing armoured figures to jump out. Each one is linked to the ship by a cable that unravels behind them, measured, controlling their fall. Two lieutenants lead the group. The first to land secures the tower's entrance. The second makes her way onto the sea shuttle that is docked alongside. As more soldiers arrive, the first lieutenant enters the tower and they begin streaming in behind him. Only two soldiers peel off to join the one on the boat. While their colleagues make their way deeper into Ferrus, the remaining lieutenant and her two soldiers check the sea shuttle for stowaways, carefully avoiding the prone form of Delta on the deck. The sea shuttle is small, and the search quickly completed.
"There's no one else on board, ma'am," reports one of the soldiers. "What are your orders regarding..."
He stops, unsure of the proper form of address in the circumstances. The point of his rifle begins to drift in Delta's direction, to signal his meaning, but he snaps it back into place. "Report that she is here, and that I'm investigating her situation. Update in 5.
"Yes, ma'am."
"And watch my back. I don't like it here."
"Yes, ma'am."
The lieutenant sees that someone has tried to hide Delta under a dirty old coat. The attempt is laughable as it fails to cover legs, head, or the tops of Delta's shoulders. Then it occurs to her that the attempt might not be to hide the body completely, but to cover up an injury or other blasphemy. She moves closer, wary of any reaction, but none comes. Though Delta's eyes are open, they do not respond to any outside stimuli, staring straight up. She finds those eyes mesmerizing, like looking into the sky of another world. When one of her soldiers speaks, the lieutenant jumps.
"Mom, Command wants to know if her sword is here."
"Negative. I repeat, Delta's sword is not here." She admonishes herself for allowing herself to become distracted and pulls the coat away, tossing it into a corner. Delta blinks, her eyes focusing on the movement. Both the lieutenant and the immortal find themselves watching the coat as it lands in a crumpled heap. Then, slowly, magnetically, they turn back to face each other. It is one thing to watch a storm at a remove through the protection of a screen, another to stand naked before it. For a moment, the lieutenant experiences an instant of total openness, as if all of her thoughts were laid out, cards on a table, carefully labelled. After that, all she feels is Delta's displeasure. After that, nothing. The table falls over with a clang, the impact jarring through the vagrant's body. He is now agonizingly close to Delta's sword, but arms remain tied, unable to cross the short distance to the hilt. However, the noise has woken the blade, wings parting to allow a wary eye to peek out. The vagrant catches its eye with his own, a silent plea for help. Guiltily, it looks away, closing again. Lips curl, disbelieving, exasperated, before parting in surprise as a rounded shadow falls over them. Wet palms slap against the sides of the table, a soft grunt sounding as the half-breed lifts it off the floor. Delta's sword vanishes from sight, replaced by a wall, a ceiling, then the other wall, and briefly Reela's face. The girl is awake. Then he is moving the other way, the table set right, and the horizon is suddenly full of giblet. The half-breed is excited, something akin to sweat oozing milkily from his pores. Thick fingers struggle to find the fastenings on the vagrant's chest plate, and when they do, they struggle to work them. The vagrant struggles too, but his efforts do little to weaken the bonds.
"Well," says the man through the speaker, "if you'll excuse me, we have more unexpected guests that need attending to. I'll come back when this is over. It's Giblet's first time, so he won't be gentle. If it's any consolation, you're going to serve as such a potent example to your companions, I'm sure they'll answer my questions without hesitation."
As the speaker cuts off, Giblet gives a grunt of delight, lifting the chest plate away from the vagrant's shoulders. Another tug, and he is able to toss it over his shoulder, nonchalant. Amber eyes widen as they notice the unusual bulge in Giblet's stomach. Folds of flab peel apart, revealing a translucent tentacle. The vagrant struggles harder, threatening to topple the table until Giblet puts his weight on it, straddling the smaller man. As the vagrant catches his breath, Giblet rips the fabric away from his chest, exposing skin. The tentacle swells at the sight, its tip hardening into a ridged point. Tiny blobs swirl inside it, like shoals of fish, barely visible to the naked eye. The vagrant turns his head away. Giblet pulls himself further up the table, positioning his tentacle directly over the vagrant's sternum. The pitch of his excitement changes, his whole body tensing. The vagrant takes a breath, closing his eyes, and begins to hum. It is a simple tune, and the sound of it freezes Giblet in place. Taking another breath, the vagrant hums the tune again and again until the tentacle retracts back into Giblet's belly and his head droops forward. The weight of it brings the body after until Giblet flops onto the vagrant, silencing, squeezing the air from his lungs. Precious seconds pass as his mouth opens and closes, futile. Veins bulge at temples, and then, just as vision begins to blur, Reela's face appears. The vagrant tries to mouth something, but the girl stops him, putting a finger to her lips. She releases his right arm from the straps, then his left, and together they attempt to roll Giblet onto the floor. Both man and girl strain until the cords stand out on their necks, tilting the blubbery form until gravity takes over. The half-breed lands with a soft squelch, but doesn't wake up. Reela goes to the other end of the table and begins to untie ankles while the vagrant wheezes, working air into his body and blood into his extremities. They quickly release Jem, who remains asleep, blissful, and gather their things. The vagrant ties the tattered remains of his top together and gets Reela to help him reattach his chest plate. Abruptly, the speaker switches back on, bringing a sentence half-started to their ears.
Of course, as loyal servants of the Winged Eye, we knew there was something wrong with them and kept them here until such time as we could report to the proper authorities.
Show us, demands a second voice. The man's reply betrays a little too much dread.
Show you? Well, this may not be the best time to... I mean, perhaps I should be cleaned up first?
Then it switches to resignation.
Of course. Of course. At once. Don't say I didn't warn you.
The wall's colour fades, revealing the row of cylinders, including the three occupied ones. Soldiers in Empire uniform also stand in the room. A lieutenant nods as he takes in the contents on the vagrant side of the wall.
Sighting confirmed, Command. I repeat, sighting confirmed.
Just as I promised,
says the man in the cylinder, relieved.
Wait, demands the lieutenant.
By the eye, what is that?
He points, and all eyes go to the slumbering half-breed.
Oh, him? That's just Giblet. He's a distant relative, a great-great-great-grand-cousin or some such.
The lieutenant doesn't answer, just turns to the cylinders and slowly raises his rifle. Without needing to be commanded, the soldiers copy the gesture.
Don't shoot,
begs the floating figure.
We are loyal to the Empire.
When his words fall flat, he reaches for a button on the inside of the cylinder, pressing it as the soldiers squeeze the triggers of their guns. Bullets spray in a wide arc, punching holes through plasglass and the bodies within. They writhe artfully, dancing their way to death. Orange gel spurts rudely from holes, forming lumpy puddles on the floor. A new tune begins to play, different from before, and Giblet wakes with a snarl. Leaping to his feet, the half-breed runs through the rapidly opening door, making a strange keening sound. Distantly, that sound is echoed once and again from an assortment of nooks within Ferris's web of walkways. The vagrant blinks, looking from the fresh corpses beyond the wall to the soldiers to the space where Giblet was. He grabs Delta's sword from the floor and begins to push Jem's table towards the exit. On instinct, Rila hops onto one end, sandwiched between the vagrant and the table, her feet braced on the table's legs.
Fire! Fire at will! Commands the lieutenant.
Rifles flash, peppering the wall. At each impact, a small circle of the wall mists, as if the soldiers were decorators, obscuring themselves with 1,000 tiny pellets of paint. The vagrant doesn't wait to see if the wall will hold. Through corridors he goes, running blind in the poor light. Uneven floors make the table bounce in his hands, Jem's head bounce on the table, and Rila's teeth clatter. Ahead he sees Light and another half-breed run from left to right past the end of the corridor. Not Giblet, but not unlike him. The keening is louder now, the various makers of the noise growing in number, gathering together. Pausing, the vagrant looks at unfamiliar surroundings, squinting, hopeless. Rila leans over the table and rummages in Jem's pocket, producing the old battered scope. She switches it on so that light shines from under her chin, ghoulish. The vagrant nods, approving. She nods back, then shines it about, the light bouncing from place to place before settling on a ridged tunnel. The vagrant frowns at it while Rila nods repeatedly. A change in the keening prompts the vagrant into action. It is moving now, a mass of sound accompanied by the thudding of many webbed feet. The vagrant moves in the opposite direction. Reela's use of the torch is imperious, picking their route without need to consult others. There is no time to argue, the vagrant struggling to keep the table from tipping over as he runs. Somewhere behind them, the half-breeds make contact with the soldiers, and there comes the sound of gunfire, sporadic, and hasty orders, screams, and through it all, that strange, gurgling wail. The vagrant runs that little bit faster. It is hard to tell if they are going the right way or not. The route has only been done once, in the opposite direction, mostly in the dark. The vagrant glances worriedly down every passage they don't take, but always follows the light from the scope. Incredibly, they pass through a doorway into a lit area of the base. It is familiar. The vagrant pauses to catch his breath and shakes his head, amazed. Reela gives him a self-satisfied smile, and he ruffles her hair. Briefly encouraged, they round the final corner, arriving at the base of the tower and the way back to the surface. Two soldiers await them. For a beat, both soldiers and vagrant freeze. Whatever the soldiers have been expecting to come, it is not the vagrant pushing a table. As the two look at each other, the vagrant launches the table forward, scooping Reela from the back, one-handed, and running after it. The soldiers ready their guns. The vagrant raises Delta's sword, headbutting the crosspiece so that the eye snaps open. He takes breath. The soldiers fire. The vagrant sings. And Delta's sword channels the note, shaking the air ahead of them. The bullets are knocked off course by the sound, parting from the vagrant to drive harmlessly into the sides of the corridor. One soldier takes aim again while the other reaches for a knife. So intent are they on their target that neither attend to the table as it slams into them. The vagrant slams into them moments after, a pommel kissing two skulls in quick succession, and then he is moving past, the bodies left to groan in his wake. Reela is swung into the lift, Jem hauled off the table and dumped next to her. A single glare is all it takes for the sword to sing, setting the lift into action. As the doors close, there is a faraway sound of a lone gun firing and firing, until it becomes the click, click, click of an empty cartridge, and then it too is gone. Swiftly, it is smothered by a score of voices, keening. The lift begins its ascent. Jem coughs as he wakes up. He is quickly alert, taking in the scant details of the empty room. The vagrant nods to him. Reela does the same. Though things appear still, he feels the sensation of movement in his belly and knows they are going up. With no immediate threat presenting itself, the aches and pains of his body come forward, shy at first, but growing in confidence.
"I feel terrible," he announces,
carefully probing the new lump on the back of his head.
"What happened?"
Two faces look at him. One raises an eyebrow, the other contorts with effort before raising both.
"Well, at least they let us go. There was something really wrong with those people. And that giblet..."
He shakes his head.
"Ugh."
The sensation of movement fades and the doors slide open. The sea shuttle remains connected to the tower and waves still sweep from horizon to horizon. Hovering above is a skyship, cables dangling from its underside like a sparse skirt. The vagrant gives it a wary glance and moves to the door.
"You're not going out there," exclaims Jem. "You're not, though, are you?"
As the vagrant edges out, Delta's sword raised and ready, Jem pauses to consider his options. Reela doesn't. She is already moving to the doorway, following in the vagrant's footsteps. He races after her, grabbing her hand and forcing her to take cover by the sea shuttle's edge. Ahead of him, the vagrant drops down onto deck. Jem watches, tense, waiting for a reaction from the skyship. None comes. The vagrant crouches down, examining something. Jem feels his hand being tugged, and after a last worried glance upwards, allows himself to be led onto the sea shuttle. Delta remains where she was left, the vagrant's coat covering her like a blanket. Around her are three soldiers of the Empire of the Winged Eye spaced out on the deck, each curled up tight in a ball. The vagrant is crouched by one of them, watching a foot twitch, spasmodic. As Jem gets closer, the vagrant looks up, puts a finger to his lips, then moves to the next one. Each is alive, their bodies clenched tight and unhappy.
"Are they dreaming?" he whispers.
The sight is so strange that he does not notice Rila leaning down or her little hand prodding at one of the soldiers until it is too late. Instantly, the soldier jerks upwards, grabbing the girl by her shoulders, nearly pulling her over.
"I'm sorry!"
he shouts, the voice distorted through his helmet.
"We didn't know!"
Fingers press tightly into Rila's skin, and she hisses in pain.
"Stop it!"
Jem urges.
"You're hurting her!"
Unaware of the vagrant suddenly standing behind him, the soldier turns his head to Jem.
"You have to for..."
The vagrant's arm loops around the soldier's neck and pulls tight, making hands open in surprise, releasing Rila. The vagrant walks backwards, dragging the soldier clear before twisting sharply, sending the other man to the floor. There is no resistance, no use of combat skills. The soldier simply curls up where he has fallen, defeated.
"What's going on?"
asks Jem. The soldier doesn't answer. The vagrant shrugs, looks at Delta's sword. Its eye is fixed on Delta, suspicious. One of the others, a lieutenant, has moved to a kneeling position.
"Please," she whispers. "I can't take this any longer. In the name of the Winged Eye, task us, use us, forgive us."
Jem and the vagrant exchange a look.
"Wait," begins Jem. "You're offering to help us?"
"Yes. I'll do anything. Anything. Please."
"But why?"
The lieutenant's gaze starts to slide towards Delta, but with an effort of will, she fixes it to the floor.
"Because she is displeased with us, and we need to make it better. Just tell us what to do, and we'll do it."
"Can you pilot that skyship?"
"Yes."
He leans into the vagrant, lowers his voice.
"Do we trust her?"
The vagrant holds out Delta's sword, letting the blade pass over the kneeling lieutenant, once, twice. He frowns, then nods. Reaching down, he pulls her to her feet with his free hand.
"What are your orders?"
He points up. She goes to the edge of the sea shuttle, and one of the cables is suddenly alert, swinging towards her, enthusiastic. The end of the cable curves about her middle, locking into place on the back of her belt and several points along the spine of her backplate. The vagrant goes with her to the rail and tries to catch one of the other cables. They sway on the edge of his reach, taunting.
"I can take you,"
says the lieutenant. With reluctance, the vagrant goes to her. She puts her arms round him.
"Hold on."
The vagrant complies.
"What are we supposed to do?"
asks Jem. The vagrant gives a slight shrug as the cable goes tight, whisking him and the lieutenant upwards at speed. Rilo watches them, her head tilting up and up, her jaw slack. As the skyship swallows them, her hands begin to wave about her head, venting excitement in all directions. Jem reaches for the bonding gun, finds it isn't there. Desperate, he picks up one of the paddles, flicking it to full extension, and then places himself between the two remaining soldiers, the paddle raised above his head. His eyes are constantly moving from one twitching body to another, to Rila, who continues to stare at the skyship, her face a stretched mask of delight. The cable pulls them directly into the open hatch, swinging the vagrant and the lieutenant into the hold. Most of the soldiers have gone down into Ferris or onto the sea shuttle, but not all. Four remain, a captain, two pilots, and a comms officer. Of these, only one still lives. The eye in Delta's sword closes, unwilling to see any more. The vagrant has no such luxury. Stepping away from the lieutenant, he moves to each body in turn. There is no sign of any struggle, and with two of the bodies, no sign of any wounds. One of the pilots has died in her chair. The captain seems to have expired where he stood. By contrast, the comms officer was killed by a shot to the head. The vagrant looks at the pistol in the comms officer's hands, his frown deepening. Though the co-pilot survives, he shakes in his seat, only held in place by straps, trapped in some nightmare that can only be guessed at. Together, the lieutenant and the vagrant drag the bodies to the hatch, letting first the sky, then the sea, take them. Each time they wait for the solemn splash before launching the next one. The rest of the skyship is checked. It appears undamaged, save for the communications array, which has been shot several times with a pistol. Gentle attempts to wake the co-pilot fail, so the vagrant removes the man's helmet. Beneath it is a sweaty face, eyes screwed shut, but still moving beneath the lids. The vagrant taps his cheek, shakes his shoulder, even flicks a little water at him, but the man does not stir. After some silent consideration, the vagrant replaces the helmet. He walks back to the hatch, points down to the sea shuttle. In moments, he and the lieutenant are being lowered by the cable at considerable speed. Rila applauds their arrival.
"At last!" exclaims Jem.
Amber eyes linger on one of the soldiers who is more still than the other, a paddle-shaped dent in his helmet.
"It's okay," says Jem. "There was some trouble, but I handled it."
He glances up at the skyship.
"Can it fly?"
The vagrant nods.
"And she can fly it?"
"Yes," replies the lieutenant.
But we have no comms and no co-pilot."
"Do we need one?"
"No."
"But?"
"No,"
repeats the lieutenant. "We don't need one."
"Then let's go."
The vagrant points to the motionless form of Delta.
"Maybe," Jem says, lowering his voice, "we should leave her here."
The vagrant shakes his head.
"Do you think, with enough cables, we could lift her up there?"
The vagrant stares at them for a while.
"I don't know how we'd attach them," says Jem. "I mean, how you would attach them, but I think it's possible."
The vagrant holds up a hand. When he turns to face Jem, he seems purposeful, a slight smile threatening on one side of his face.
"What is it? Have you had an idea?"
The vagrant doesn't answer, putting down Delta's sword and relieving Jem of his paddle. He moves to the rail, leaning out as far as he can, and uses the end of the paddle to hook one of the cables, drawing it to his side. After passing the cable to Jem, he leans out again, fishing for another. Gradually, more and more cables find their way into Jem's hands. When he can hold no more, the lieutenant is waved forward. She comes without question, though both she and Jem are obviously curious. Reela waits patiently alongside them, arms open, and is rewarded with a single cable end. Delighted, she wiggles it, making small ripples like a snake, dancing. When all of the cables save the one attached to the lieutenant have been gathered, the vagrant nods to himself, takes one from Jem, and sets to work.